And as we said, President Obama in Pittsburgh meeting with his jobs council. We mentioned GE, but also leaders from American Express, Comcast, Intel. They held a conference in August where Energy Secretary Stephen Chu repeated the mantra of high-tech companies that they want to hire Americans but can't find qualified workers. That same sentiment was echoed by guests on our program last week. Now, venture capitalist Mo Koifman of Spark Capital told us that the firms he works with can't fill their jobs, and he thinks the U.S. should loosen visa restrictions to take in more foreign workers.
I think we need to do a better job with our immigration policies and really look favorably upon bringing in talented folks from other countries into the United States of America.
Well, we heard from many of you, including Michael Royce of Concord, New Hampshire, who says he has 35 years' experience in the computer development and support industry. He's on the line. Michael, first of all, what was your response when you heard that?
Well, this has been going on for many years, and I think it's totally disgraceful. If we had truly a shortage of people to do the jobs, well, that's one thing, but we don't. There's a lot of people like myself, hundreds of thousands of us, actually, that would love to have real jobs with benefits, with real pay, that can pay American taxes and buy American goods and buy homes and automobiles. The whole process could be fixed just by changing the policies of hiring policies, and I don't know why it's upside down.
Well, some listeners were more to the point. They said it's ageism. How old are you?
I'm 67.
Okay, you're 67. And as you said, lots of years in the high-tech industry. You were the IT director, systems analyst, and programmer for the Concord, New Hampshire School District from 79 to 89. You say you'd still be there, except there were budget cuts. And that led you onto a spiral of, you know, working independently for Fidelity, Sun Life, Bank of Boston. But people like our guest, the venture capitalist Mo Koifman, say that people like you maybe aren't up to speed. Is that possibly true, that at 67, the high-tech skills you had in the 80s and 90s wouldn't qualify you for work now?
No, because over the years, whatever a client needs, I just learned their particular skill. And yes, you have to hit the road running from day one. So I myself, and I'm sure others like me, are very capable of learning whatever the client's needs are.
Did you think, though, that you would need some training?
Yes, I'm an old COBOL programmer, but yet I've done a whole lot of other things. Mm. For instance, the Concord School District, I didn't have any Burroughs Unisys mainframe computer experience. I came to the job. I only had 3 years' experience in the field at the time. So after I was there for a couple of weeks, I asked the hiring manager, I said, gee, why was I hired? He says, because you could think.
So what have you been doing to look for work?
Well, I'm registered all over on Dice and Monster, and I apply for jobs every week for many years. Occasionally, I'll have an interview. There was an interesting one. I really thought it would really be an excellent job. I was interviewed with a phone interview from people from New York. They flew in from New York, so we did a face-to-face interview. I thought I was superb, but then I was to have another interview with the manager, and this is when the wheels fall off.
But moving on, in the meantime, what are you doing for a living?
Well, in the meantime, I'm a janitor in a school.
Really?
And I've been doing that for 7 years. I mean, it's a huge waste of talent and experience, and this is what's wrong with our economy. They got the wrong people doing the wrong jobs. And why is that? And I just keep scratching my head. I'm a problem solver. I know how to solve these problems, but we need to do the right things.
Which, in your mind, is hire the older, former IT workers who worked in the 80s and 90s. Hire them now.
Well, I personally, yes, I keep hearing this, that we're obsolete and stuff like that. I don't believe a word of it. I mean, if I had somebody working on my car or working on my home, I would want people with experience. I want somebody who's been there, who's done that.
That's Mike Royce. He has worked for 35 years in the IT industry, early on as IT director and systems analyst for a school district. Then he contracted out for companies like Fidelity, Sun Life, Bank of Boston. He's now working as a school custodian, primarily to get benefits for him and his wife. Mike, thanks for talking to us, and I hope employers were listening.
Thank you.
Okay, so what is true about older high-tech workers? Let's bring in Ron Hira. He's an associate professor of public policy at Rochester Institute of Technology and joins us from WXXI in Rochester, New York. So, Ron, you heard Michael Royce saying there are hundreds of thousands of older workers like him who could fill these high-tech openings. Your thought?
Oh, I think Mike is right on. In fact, there's not just older workers. There's lots of unemployed and underemployed, talented technology workers right now.
In fact, this is what you testified before Congress. You said there's plenty of American engineers available to work. But in your view, American companies want cheaper labor from overseas. Now, we heard from Mo Koifman of Spark Capital, one of several business leaders. He's not alone. Microsoft Senior Vice President Brad Smith also say that foreign labor is a short-term answer, that these some of these workers that are already here have to be brought up to speed. Do they have a point there? Because they want to expand the H-1B visa program.
No, I don't think they have a strong point. They certainly have a point in the sense that they're making that point, but it's not a believable one. When they talk about talent, they're using that term very loosely. The question really for us to scrutinize is, do they mean high-skilled talent, or do they just mean they want lower-wage workers with some skills? So you can't just talk about skills. You have to talk about skills with wages.
Well, then let's do that. Are overseas employees, you know, that might come on the H-1B visa program, are they that much cheaper? Stay with the foreign workers for now. Are they that much cheaper than
yeah, what you see, and if you look at the H-1B data, is you see a bimodal distribution. You have a very large number of workers really on the low end, and in fact you can legally pay below market wages. The wage floor for the H-1B is the 17th percentile. That's 1/7, the 17th percentile. So they're on the bottom of the wage scale. Mm-hmm. And then you've got some very high wage workers that come in. So in some cases, these firms do use it for very specific, highly talented, high wage jobs. But in the majority of cases, they're using it basically for lower wages. And it's not only a wage advantage in terms of being able to legally pay below market wages, but the employer holds the visa. And so in practice, what you've got is these workers are indentured servants in a sense.
That's right.
Because if they lose their job, they're out of status and have to leave the
country.
That's
right. Ron Hira, Associate Professor of Public Policy at Rochester Institute of Technology. Okay, we've opened up the discussion. We're going to take a break and be back with more. Meanwhile, we'd love to hear from listeners. What's your experience, your thoughts on this, especially if you have the high-tech company? Do you think you're being unfairly attacked if you want those overseas foreign workers and you feel that maybe it is going to cost you too much to retrain the older American workers that exist? Ron Hira has thoughts on all of this. He's got the stats. We're going to hear more with him after a break, and we can hear from you at hereandnow.org.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Did you just hear that underwriting announcement from MathWorks.com mentioning 200 job openings? Last week, we spoke to the CFO and also to a venture capitalist who said America needs to produce more engineers. Now, MathWorks, of course, they're saying they have all those openings. And today we're hearing from people, including a laid-off IT manager, who say, but wait a minute, there are plenty of people here. They're just older, in his case. And Ron Hira agrees. He's an associate professor of public policy at Rochester Institute of Technology. He's testified before Congress on the country's engineering workforce and agrees that the workers are here. And Ron, I want to read another comment from a listener. He doesn't buy the idea that companies need to get overseas foreign talent. He says, I think they want employees to come in a neat package with all the fixings. In other words, be able to, just on day one, be able to go out on the work floor. And we know that the president, who's meeting with his jobs council today, has a plan to create more engineering jobs and also another program for engineering interns. And just want to ask you if you hear a disconnect here. It seems, and you've said this, that at one time, companies did their own training of workers, not the government.
Yeah, in fact, IBM, which was the tech company for decades, never laid off a worker until 1992. It wasn't that technology didn't change and the needs, the skill needs didn't change. It was that they actually trained people and moved them from one position to another. But we've gotten to a point where companies can very easily discard workers. lay them off, and in the next breath say that there's a shortage of workers. We see that with Microsoft, which just laid off 5,000 workers over the last 18 months and are testifying now that they have a shortage of workers. And this goes on with IBM's laid off about 35,000 U.S. workers or terminated them. Hewlett-Packard, which was downsizing by about 25,000 workers. Cisco just recently announced a 6,500 worker layoff, and the defense contractors are now laying off in the thousands. So there is a huge disconnect, and I think the Obama administration really hasn't paid any attention to what's actually going on or talked to anybody outside of perhaps these CEOs who will always, if you understand what their motivations are, it's always a self-serving motivation, which is increase the supply. We want more, better, faster, cheaper.
Well, let's just devil's advocate here. What about the point that they make that some of the workers that they're laying off may not have the skills anymore, and they want these younger workers who are trained in cloud platforms and all the mobile technology now?
Well, I want a car that gets 50 miles to a gallon, and I can pay $5,000 for, but it doesn't exist. What they're really asking is for the government to intervene in the market. We have a market system. When they ask to bring in foreign workers, what they're really asking is for government intervention to subsidize their industry. And so you have to ask the question, are they doing other things that could solve this, what they're claiming is a market failure? Could they retrain folks, or could they offer the policy proposal that government retrain those workers or subsidize the retraining of those workers rather than just importing talent? Their only solution is to import additional talent while discarding very highly skilled, highly qualified workers. And those folks then become underutilized and underemployed.
And your point is that they should just be retraining those people and moving them around as IBM once did. And in fact, I just want to pick up on something else. Todd Thibodeau, who's with the Computing Technology Industry Association, and they run large IT skills certification programs, he actually says that some of the new technology, like cloud and healthcare, may be favoring older and more seasoned workers. So there are people who think that there's part of the IT world in which older workers would function well.
Well, I think that we've given the tech sector really preferential privileged treatment and haven't asked the sort of hard questions on their human resource policies. And it goes beyond the age biases, which are pervasive in the industry. They're women are very underrepresented in the field, and so are African Americans and Hispanics.
Well, in fact, women have women from the industry have a much higher unemployment rate, especially women over 55, than others. But what about Brad Smith again of Microsoft? He says it's all about education, as did our guest that prompted all of this a week ago. That we're just not, the failure isn't education. He says Washington State has a huge gap between technology jobs that are created and students that are equipped to take them. And he points to these unemployment statistics in Washington State. People with a college degree have about a 4% unemployment, which he says that's sort of low. People with only a high school education are at 10%. He says that's proof if we had a more educated workforce, they would be taking these jobs.
Well, he obviously doesn't understand unemployment statistics very well. He's comparing apples to oranges. The normal college graduate unemployment rate when the economy is doing well, when they're at full employment, would be about 2%. So just like construction workers are in a jobs recession, so are college graduates. And in fact, the unemployment rate for computer occupations is even higher than for other college graduates. So unless you think that liberal arts majors are somehow in a shortage, then it's very hard to argue that computer occupations are in a shortage just by using that one data point.
You're saying 4% for people with a college degree isn't good, and it should be much lower than that. And so do you think those jobs, just very briefly, are those jobs going to foreign workers?
It's just less worse, and that unemployment rate. Certainly, they're choosing to use foreign workers. And what's really damaging to the American economy in the longer run is that, in fact, the top employers of H-1B workers, of foreign workers, are offshore outsourcing firms. Hmm. So this is the who's who of the India IT industry. It's Wipro, it's Infosys, it's Tata Consultancy, and what they're doing is they're bringing in lower wage workers to transfer the work overseas, and American engineers are being forced to train their foreign replacements. Just imagine what that's like when you're going to face probably 2 or 3 years of unemployment and maybe have to take a custodial job, yeah, that you're training your foreign replacement because a government is intervening in the marketplace to basically subsidize these companies.
Okay, very strong opinion from Ron Heer, Associate Professor of Public Policy at Rochester Institute of Technology. He says the workers are here for the high-tech industry. Ron, thanks so much.
Thank you.